Blog Talk Radio.
Never oil that door. That is too cool. Thank you, Fogsbane. All right, welcome. Good evening. Come on in to Erie House. We've got to keep you warm and chilled at the same time with some stories. Well, a story about a wall. We are tearing down the walls. We were building them last night. We're tearing them down tonight. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
That is the magic of radio. I'm Dave Binkley from The Weirdest Really Bad Movie. And we're not even union workers, and yet we can still build and tear down those walls.
That's right.
We couldn't afford union pay. Yeah, we couldn't afford to be union workers, so, you know, we have to do it ourselves.
That's right. We're just tearing it down like the Berlin Wall came down, baby.
Yep, and it's I think it's interesting. You know, we did not get to it yesterday. There was a lot going on. We had three full shows and Gar on Octane, and we did not get a chance to share some of the amazing numbers that we have done so far in this program, Dale.
Yeah, we forgot to bring up that last night's show was the 150th of the oldie-timey radio shows. Dave and I have been doing this. It's going to be almost 3 years at the end of the year. We started in January of 2017,
yep,
doing a show exclusively dedicated to old-time radio. And then we spread out to Saturdays and included the old talk show and added some radio there, too. Just like tonight with CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
And during that time, we've shared with, and that was even before last night, we had shared 500 complete radio shows over that 2.75 year time, and at least 329 clips. That's what I have counted. But to me, I just look at a number and I say, wow, wow.
I don't know. When I look at how many episodes of like tonight's show, like CBS Radio Mystery Theater, how many of those exist, I'm saying equally wow looking ahead of what we got in store for you. Just tons and tons and tons and tons of radio, and if you aren't an aficionado, or you're new to the fold like I have been, I guess I'm not so new anymore, but if you are this is going to be all new to you. These are all new radio shows in a way, even though they're oldie-timey radio.
That's right. And just what wonderful storytelling. Of course, this is a time when short story was something that, you know, people were reading more. Short story was very much everywhere. And now, I mean, you just think, even think about Dale. You had the Alfred Hitchcock Mystery Magazine. You had the Shadow Magazine. You had the Ellery Queen Magazine. You had just plain, I think it was just called Mystery Magazine. There are just so many different publications out there that just concentrated on the short story form.
Yeah, you had the pulps in general were an epic vehicle for short stories. Books with anthology stories, you know, even comic books that were told in an anthological way. Is that a way? Is that proper? Anthological?
Yeah.
I don't know. telling these short stories, you know, something you don't have to be married to and you know, slit your wrists if you miss a show.
Yeah.
Well, that was a bit extreme, Dale.
A little bit.
Well, that's okay.
You are close to Halloween. You are
with us, Fogsbane, and bringing a boy. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. We got a great show.
Yeah. We do. Back again tonight, as we enjoy doing so many Saturday nights, to another tale from the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and it is a good one. It is, and along with our theme, the crack in the wall, just a wonderful story told so well and brought to us as Hyman Brown does so well. And it's amazing, Dale, that after almost 3 years, I can say Hyman Brown without you bursting into laughter.
Well, it was only funny the first time I heard Hyman. It was funny. It was the first time, the very first time, the one and only first time. Because after that, it's busted. It's over, you know. It's not funny.
He brought us so many great programs, from working on radio soaps to the Thin Man radio series to the Inner Sanctum, of course. And once he did Inner Sanctum, he basically had the ability to create any show he wanted to create, and a network would pick it up. And in the 1970s, when there really wasn't much, there were some really pockets of radio drama. He talked the CBS Radio Network into bringing this particular program, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, which lasts from 74 to 82, and gave us almost 1,500 radio stories.
I think we'll be around a while, Dave.
It may be around longer than we are, my friend.
Yeah, we may not get through them all due to age.
It's our age, not their age, yes.
Yeah, that's what I meant, sadly. Because there's just so many of them.
Yeah. And this is another one.
Yes, it is. This just happens to be another one of those. Great stories from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And, of course, really extending the tradition of the creaking door. Of course, Hyman Brown's show Inner Sanctum began with a creaking door, which they paid great homage in this show, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, as we do, courtesy of our pal Fogs Bane, who provided us the most excellent squeaky door for our intro.
That's right. That's right. And yet, sadly, I think the source that he recorded from, they did oil it. Ah.
Yes.
Oh.
Which is a horrible
we'll
thing
have
to
it,
do.
But we'll have it here
thing
forever.
To do to a door.
Yes.
But I do like me some squeaky doors. Let's go ahead and get rolling here with The Crack in the Wall from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Originally broadcast.
It's an early one from the first year, episode number 94. It is from May 20th, 1974.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the terrifying world of your imagination. I have an unusual story for you about a crack in a cellar wall that resists all efforts to repair it. Despite all the learning through the ages, despite the world's great progress in physics, chemistry, biology, there are certain matters which cannot be explained by our computers or our wise men. Matters which may never have a logical explanation. Our mystery drama, The Crack in the Wall, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sidney Sloan and stars Celeste Holm. It was a cold, rainy, windy day when Paul and Nora Sandfort laid their child to rest in Green Tree Cemetery. Despite all the soothing words of friends and relatives, Nora's despair was inconsolable. She felt that nothing could ease the pain in her heart caused by the loss of her only child.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
My darling.
Be thy name.
My baby. Why did you have to die?
Nora, darling, please. Our religion teaches us that God, in his infinite wisdom, decides.
Don't pick these empty words to me. I accepted that because it never touched me before. I never thought of it. But our daughter, our beautiful, innocent child, just 16. Why?
One does not question these matters, Nora.
I do question. For the first time in my life, I question. I would do anything to bring my Ruth back to this world.
Nora, please. Now you know that's impossible.
Why?
Why? Because our little girl Ruth is dead, burnt to death. Nothing you can do or say or hope can change that. Reading the newspaper. First chance I've had to take a look at it today.
The minister was here today, Dr. Fowler.
Oh?
Said he wanted to see our new house.
New? This house is over 100 years old.
Well, new for us, he meant. It was just an excuse to come here, actually. He wanted to know why I hadn't been to church in the last several months.
What did you tell him?
Oh, I don't know. It was awkward. I said I'd be back next Sunday. Made some excuse about not having felt well lately.
Well, I'm glad.
About my going back to church?
Yes. But more important than that, it means that you're getting over this depression, getting out into the world again, beginning to forget.
No. No, you're wrong, Paul. I'll never get over wanting my little girl back with me. I'll never forget.
Please believe me, Nora. I loved Ruth, too. But I accept the fact that she's gone from us forever.
I'll never accept that. Oh, by the way, now I remember what I wanted to remind you about.
What?
It's about that crack in the cellar wall, right in front of the washer and dryer. There's a terrible draft that comes from it.
Well, there's no crack there, Nora.
No crack? I thought I'd get rheumatism in the cold draft when I did the washing today. It hit you right in the back.
I had that repaired. I paid for it. It's on the general bill for the repairs we had to make on the old house before we could move in.
Well, then they cheated you. Charged you and never did the job.
You sure? Seems to me that I remember.
Never been done. Those contractors will try. You know, it's Mr. Carroll, isn't it? His number's on the telephone stand. Why don't you call him?
Oh, it's 7:30, Nora. Well, come to think of it, the only time I could possibly reach him would be at night. He'd be busy all day out on the job. Hello, Miss Carroll? Paul Sanford. I'm sorry to bother you, but one of the items on your bill to me for repairs on my house, item 28, repair crack in cellar wall, north side interior, $45.60. You never closed up that crack. You what? Hold on a minute. Nora, he says he supervised that item himself, mixed the cement for it.
Well, just tell him that he's got it wrong.
Mr. Carroll, my wife says the crack is still there. It hasn't been repaired. Okay, sometime tomorrow morning? Right, thank you. It's kind of funny. He said he's willing to bet $100 that he completed the work.
Mrs. Sanford, I'm finished with the job, and I want your okay.
I'll put on the pot and give you a cup of coffee.
Thanks, I'd appreciate that. Come right down, I'm in a bit of a hurry.
Won't be a minute. I'm coming, Mr. Carroll.
Mrs. Sanford, the strangest thing.
What did you say, Mr. Carroll?
Look at that wall.
Oh, dear. Another crack?
No, it's not another crack.
What?
It's the same crack. I just filled it with cement.
But you couldn't have. It looks old and dry.
Look at my hands. They're still covered with cement. Here are my tools, my trowel, my hammer and chisel. I could swear it was closed up not 5 minutes ago.
And that cold draft going from it.
Like from a tomb. Like from a tomb.
Stanford. Come in, come in.
Thank you, Dr. Fuller.
We'll come into the study. We won't be disturbed there. There, right this way. Sit down, won't you?
Thank you. Please forgive me for interrupting you at this hour. I don't quite know how to begin. As you know, we've been through a horrible experience.
Yes, losing your daughter in that fire.
It's our only child. Just 16.
Mr. Sanford, you must get hold of yourself.
Yes. You see, I've been holding my emotions back for months. I had to be strong for Nora's sake.
She's taken this very hard, yes, I know.
She hasn't gotten over it. It shook her to the very foundation of her belief.
I gather that it's been only recently that you both came back into the church.
She's definitely twisted mentally. Her preoccupation is with a crack in the cellar wall, which she says cannot be repaired.
What?
Well, there's a long, jagged crack in the cellar wall. It's been there since we bought the house earlier this year, after our other house burned down.
Have you tried to have this crack filled with cement?
Oh, yes, yes, we tried.
The way you say that is very strange.
Well, I paid Carroll, the builder, for repairs on the house. He was certain that he'd repaired the wall. However, he came back and patched up the crack again when he asked for my wife's okay on the job after he'd finished. They went down to the cellar and looked. The crack was open again.
I don't understand.
Neither do I. Carroll said that he'd not left the cellar, that he'd called my wife to look at it.
What's your explanation?
I have none, Dr. Fowler, none.
Is that you down in the cellar, Paul?
Yes, Nora. I'm filling up the crack in the wall with cement.
Do you think that's wise, Paul?
Wise? Well, I thought you wanted the wall repaired. Kara won't come here anymore, so...
Well, that's what I mean. Paul, there's some very good reason why that wall resists repair.
That's a strange way of putting it. Wall resists repair. So you thought the wall had... I don't quite know how to put this. As though the wall
had a will of its own?
Nora, that's ridiculous.
Is it? Mr. Carroll tried twice to fill that crack. He gave up.
Yes, I know. I just received a check from him for $45.60, refunding the money I paid him for the job. Come on, let's go upstairs. This old cellar gives me the creeps.
Paul! Look!
My God. It's disappearing. The cement I just put into the cracks dissolving into thin air. Mr. Edmund, I'm calling about this house you sold us. No. It's a good, solid old house. It's just that my wife isn't happy here. We're all alone, as you know. It just isn't right for us. Yes, I know. I'll have to take a loss if I change now, but I'm prepared for that. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow, around 5, okay? Good. Goodbye, Mr. Edmunds.
Paul, who was that on the phone?
Oh, Nora, I called Mr. Edmunds.
The real estate man?
That's right.
You're thinking of selling?
Well, I thought you'd want to get out of here too, Nora.
Whatever gave you that idea?
Now, that's a very strange attitude.
Don't you know what this all means?
No, I don't understand it. Frankly, it scares me.
Ruth is trying to reach us.
What are you talking about?
It was just 2 days ago. I was lying in bed. You were sound asleep. I heard the clock chime 3. I felt something urging me to leave the bedroom and go down into the cellar.
Nora, I've got to take you to a doctor.
Paul, I'm not out of my mind. I tell you, our daughter is calling to me. She's trying to get to me.
Darling, Nora, listen to me. What you're saying doesn't make sense. Our child is dead, Nora. Burnt to death.
I spoke to her. I spoke to her through the crack in the cellar wall.
You what?
I spoke to Aru, and she spoke to me.
Huh?
Wake up!
Nora. What time is it?
Shh. Quiet. Now, do you hear?
Hear what?
She's calling to me. Our little girl. She wants us. She needs us.
Nora, listen to me. You don't hear anything. You just think you hear because
listen,
you want to hear.
Listen.
I don't hear anything.
There it is again. It's very faint, but you can hear it. Just try hard enough.
Please, darling, try to rest. I've made an appointment for you with Dr.
I don't need a doctor. Who's calling me?
Yes. Looks like it's coming from...
The cellar. I must go to her.
No. No, don't. You mustn't.
My little girl is calling. I must go to her.
Was Ruth calling to her mother, or was Paul Sandfort falling into the clouded supernatural obsession that controlled Nora's life? He thought he heard the voice of his dead child calling to her mother. He couldn't be sure, but Nora's certainty was so strong that he was almost convinced that he heard it too.
Almost, that is. Wow.
How's that for a way to end the first act?
Wow. Good stuff. A chilling tale with a grieving family over the loss of their daughter who appears to maybe be reaching out to them through a crack in the wall.
Yes. The star in this, Celeste Holm, actually, what an amazing career she had. Really not much in radio, although she did do 7 mystery theaters. I'm sure she did some radio. First appeared on Broadway when she was 19 years old, originally from Brooklyn, New York, and actually stayed, you know, essentially a New York gal her whole life. Partly because she bought an apartment on the one side of Central Park for, you know, I had it right here, just something like $1,100 in like 1950 or something like that, and held on to it for most of her life. But she did receive one best supporting actress. Oscar. She was in at least 2 other Oscar award winning films, All About Eve and two best pictures. A Gentleman's Agreement, All About Eve. She also appeared in 1 more best picture nominee, The Snake Pit in 1948, and an uncredited voice only in another Letter to 3 Wives in 1949. Absolutely amazing career. And she even left the movies to go back to the stage because she loved it so much, to come back to the movies and to television. I mean, she was really on, at the very least with what she did here at Mystery Theater, she hit every single medium of her day with the radio, with television, with the movies, and with the stage. And successful, at least, as you know, I don't know how much other radio she did, but successful in all of them. And
she's doing a fine job in building the suspense and terror in this tale. My gosh.
I love this quote by her. She had a few of them on here. But this one I like is, I believe that if a man does a job as well as a woman, he should be paid as much. I thought that was hilarious.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yep. So from start to finish, and even she remains in New York as she's in New York City's Woodlawn Cemetery. And not a bad start from starting off as a Girl Scout, working your way all up to all that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. From selling cookies to stardom. To stardom.
There you go.
Too.
Yep, yep.
Can sing around the campfire, join the campfire girls.
Boy, you can, this would be a nice story to tell around the campfire, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. This is a good terror tale with... Yeah, I mean, you wonder what's going on. They leave you room to think that maybe the mom's just overwrought about losing the daughter, but no, this is getting intense because other people are experiencing the problem with this wall, the builder, the husband.
Right.
And now we have to find out what's going to happen next.
Absolutely. That would be a good place for part two.
It's a great place. Let's get the middle part of three of The Crack in the Wall.
Everything that Paul and Ruth Sandfort believed in is being drained away. They are living in a nightmare of twisted emotions, pulled farther and farther from the normal life they had known, into a tangled, dreamlike world in which they hear the voice of their dead child calling to them.
You're not going down into that cellar, Nora.
It was Ruth's voice calling. Are you coming with me, Paul, or shall I go down alone?
Nora, please. Now, we're dreaming this. It isn't happening.
I heard her voice. You said you heard it. She was calling to me for help. Are you coming with me, or shall I go alone?
I'll come with you, dear. Just to prove to you that there's nothing there. Nothing. How could there be?
I know there is something there. Come.
Now, wait. Don't try to go down those steep cellar stairs in the dark. Turn on the light.
It's out. It's not working.
Here, let me try. Oh, I'm not going down there in the dark.
There's some candles in the cupboard just outside the door. Get them.
Well, candles won't do any good.
Get them.
I just remembered. I've got a flashlight in the kitchen table drawer.
Hurry!
Here we are. Now stay right behind me. I'll go first.
Flash the light around.
Oh, there's nothing. Nothing but that crack in the wall. Let's go back upstairs, Nora.
Good evening.
Oh, what?
Who are you?
Oh, I'm sorry if I frightened you.
What? Who are you? What are you doing in our house?
Doing? I am inspecting the wall. The wall that needs repair.
And who are you?
Why, I'm the helper.
What are you talking about, helper? Whom are you helping?
You.
I don't like this, Paul. Please make him go away.
If you want me to, I'll go. But I thought you needed me.
Now, I want you out of here.
I see you have a hammer in your hand. You're afraid of me. Well, believe me, I came to help you.
Who sent you?
My, employer.
Who?
Your friend. Your friend who knows of your sorrows. He sent me to seal up the crack in the wall.
Well, I've tried. Several people have tried to do that. It won't stay closed.
I can close it for you if you want me to. I repeat, if you want me to. You may not want it.
Why?
You will not hear the voice of your daughter ever again.
No. Don't seal it. Please.
Nora. Now, maybe it would be better.
No.
No, this is insanity. Nora, our daughter is dead. Dead and buried.
And you think that is the end?
Of course. It's the end of mortal life.
And do you share your husband's beliefs, Nora?
No. Ruth was calling to me. I want her back. I want to hold her in my arms.
Am I dreaming? This can't be happening. What are we doing standing here talking to this...
Paul, please, don't. There's no one here.
He was here? Where is he? He couldn't get past us up the stairs, nor where did he go?
Who?
Nora, Di. What's happened to you? Speak to me, dearest, speak.
Paul. Paul. What are we doing here in the cellar? How did we get here?
And you say, Mr. Sanford, that you think you saw this creature in the cellar of your house?
No, it wasn't what you say. No, not a creature. It was a man. Small, dwarf-like. He said he'd come to repair the wall.
At 3 o'clock in the morning? You saw this man too, Mrs. Sanford?
No. I don't know what Paul's talking about. I didn't see anything. I was fast asleep. Paul woke me and told the story.
I see. Your daughter's death was a terrible shock to you both. It's preying on your thoughts. Your grief pushed the normal day-to-day living from your minds. You began to
imagine... I heard her voice, Doctor. I heard Ruth's voice calling to me.
Of course you did. But try to think rationally, Mrs. Sanford. You know it's impossible for you to have actually heard the voice of your dead daughter. Seriously, you can't believe you did, can you? Seriously, can you believe that?
I don't know.
It's all so simple if you will recognize the true authority.
Who are you?
I am merely a conveyor of ideas, a messenger.
Then you are sent by the devil?
Perhaps. Perhaps I'm your friend. Call me the helper.
Can you help me? Can you bring my daughter back to me?
Under certain conditions... But you might find the cost too high.
What? Tell me. Nothing is too costly, too terrible. I'll agree to anything.
Even if it meant that you would lose everything? Everything you've been taught about life and death since you were a child?
Oh, yes, I agree. I agree to anything just to help me save my child. Help me.
Nora, wake up, Nora. You had a bad dream. Darling.
Anything. I'll agree to anything.
Darling, Nora.
Oh, Paul.
You were crying out in your sleep. I woke you.
Paul, he came to see me and told me that I...
Who, darling?
That ugly little creature. I'd seen him before, but I can't remember where.
The helper. That's what he calls himself.
I heard Ruth calling to me. Then he appeared.
I don't know what it is. I don't want to know. We're getting out of this house and we're not coming back.
Oh, you go, Paul, but I can't.
But don't you see what's happening to us here? Something evil is pursuing us, either to destroy us or drive us insane.
No, I can have my daughter back. He'll help me.
You can't believe that.
I believe it.
What does he expect in exchange?
I can't tell you, Paul. I just can't tell you.
Oh, Dr. Fowler, right on time.
Is Mrs. Sanford home?
No. No, I called her sister and got her to make a date with Nora so she wouldn't be here. My work is suffering. We're not sleeping well. Nora's had terrible dreams, nightmares.
You told your physician, Dr. Coombs?
If anyone can help us, it's God. Dr. Fowler, we have seen the evil one.
What?
We have seen him. We have spoken with him. It's either the devil or one of his emissaries. He calls himself the helper.
my good man, in this enlightened age, when we speak of Satan, it is usually, what I mean to say is we think of the devil as the embodiment of all evil, but not as an actual being.
I see. Well, Dr. Fowler, if you can't help us, we may have to go to someone who can. There are groups where they believe in the devil.
Mr. Sanford, Paul, please understand. I cannot believe in the devil's being other than an abstract name for evil.
If I can show him to you, will you believe me then? I saw him. I have seen the devil and the devil's work, and I'm frightened to death.
Sorry to bother you, Dr. Combs, but something very disturbing has happened.
Yes?
You know the two people I referred to you, the Sanfords?
Yes.
In your opinion, Dr. Combs, would you say that they were insane?
Well, I don't know, Dr. Fowler. The word insane is a legal one, not a medical one.
Well, deranged and mentally ill.
Well, I would say from a very cursory examination that they were both suffering from severe emotional stresses brought on by the untimely death of their only child.
Well, would that explain their hallucinations?
Hallucination?
To put it bluntly, Doctor, they think they have been speaking with the devil. Have seen him, in fact.
Not exactly a common delusion in this day and age. If they need medical help, they must come to me. I can't solicit
them. Yes. I realize that, Dr. Combs. Perhaps a sanitarium would be the best place for them. They could be taken care of and have a change of scene to get over the grief that they feel.
An excellent idea, Fowler, but who's going to commit them? Can you get them to commit themselves voluntarily?
Have you come to any decision?
I've been thinking about it.
I've heard you say you would do anything to have your daughter back. You had made up your mind.
Yes. Oh, yes, but...
But still, you hesitate.
What you've asked of me is almost... Well, I'm almost afraid to think of it. It's been in my mind, awake and asleep. I can't tell the difference anymore.
You hesitate. Thinking of yourself while your daughter suffers.
Oh, no, no.
I will leave you now. Perhaps never to return. This is your last chance.
No.
Nora.
Oh, no,
Nora,
no,
darling,
no,
listen to me. You're having bad dreams.
I'll do anything.
Wake up, please. Nora, it's me, Paul. Open your eyes.
No.
You're all
no,
right.
No, no.
You're safe with me. Darling, it's me, Paul.
Yes, I'm just all right now. Paul,
Nora.
I've made my decision.
What decision?
About Ruth. I am going to bring her back.
Bring her back? What are you saying?
I'm going to bring her back, no matter what the cost, no matter what the consequences are.
Nora and Paul have come far along a tortuous, a frightening path. Now Nora is determined to see the matter to the end, despite the consequences.
Yes, headlong into danger, that's where they're going, it seems.
Yes, speaking to the devil, or at least so they think.
Yes.
There are, and it's kind of interesting how the, I think he's the minister, that even he thinks that, can think of the devil not as a physical being, but only as a, an example, but
yeah.
Not a physical being.
A metaphor.
And,
sort of.
Yeah. And how many things can be the devil of all of us? For some people, addictions to drugs or to opioids or to alcohol or whatever. That can be our own devil. And maybe that's kind of the concept of which he himself also is perhaps speaking of.
Perhaps. We're going to learn more with the conclusion of this show coming up in a little bit.
And how many times has the devil been made part of a comedy routine? I can think of a couple. One, of course, which Flip Wilson used to do, you know, "The Devil Made Me Do That." You know, one of his albums was called "The Devil Made Me Buy That Dress." Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, does an amazingly hilarious bit on the devil welcoming people to hell. Absolutely hilarious. And so...
There was a great episode, Dave. You know I love Married with Children. And what's the gentleman's name that used to play Freddy Krueger? Robert Englund.
Come on,
Robert
Bob. Englund. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Played the devil on Married with Children. Al had a... I don't know if it was a fantasy episode or whatever. Devil was... was very, very skillfully played.
and actually, we've done it at least three times I can think of. I mean, we're just really bad with Al Klesh being the devil. He did it on Devil's Cargo. He did it on Half a Sinner, and he did it on our 50th anniversary show, Topper's Return. And at least three times that I can recall right off the top of my head, he was the devil for us. So
it's always good stuff and a great source of humor with the devil. Not intentionally comic, but I think Lost in Space had a devil episode.
I believe you're right. So the devil certainly can be terrified, but then, you know, even the it was on Network Fox for like 2 years, and the third year it was on Netflix.
Lucifer,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that was very well done, and it was, you know, it was drama, but it had a lot of humor in it because of his likes and dislikes and his little quirks and such.
And a very, very comic look at the devil. I forget the name of the movie. But at the end, Little Nicky. Little Nicky.
Okay.
Little Nicky is a devil, but his father is the devil. And there's quite a bit of comedy there, including
I'm thinking of Hot Stuff. That was a comic book. He was a little devil. Hot Stuff
was my first. Dave, you just touched at the strings of my heart, because Hot Stuff was the very first comic book I ever remember getting. you know what I mean? The Harvey comics were more wholesome for little kids, so I was maybe five or six, and one was purchased or traded to me or whatever, I don't know, from a relative, but I read Hot Stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is great stuff. Then, of course, I got to know Casper and Spooky and Wendy and that whole Harvey thing. But that didn't last long once I got a hold of Marvel Comics. That's a whole other story. They, too, had characters that were the devil.
Yes.
Briefly. A great source of storytelling. And perhaps in our story tonight, the crack in the wall. An absolute chiller so far. I can't wait to see how this is going to end.
Yeah, and the Fogs Bane, we got Fogs Bane on the end of his seat. So,
yes, we do. And
I've heard it before. I've heard it before, and I'm on the edge of my seat too.
I am as well. So we might as well bring that suspense to a exciting conclusion here with the Crack in the Wall from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Forces.
nurses are tearing at the sanity of Paul and Nora Sandfort. Nora's sleeping and waking worlds are so much the same that she can no longer differentiate between them. In her thoughts, in her ears, are the words of her dead daughter calling to her for help. Paul thinks he has heard the child, too, but is uncertain. He is not sure whether or not it is the driving influence of his wife's obsession or what he has actually heard and seen himself.
I don't know, Doctor. I don't know anymore. Everything is so confused.
I want you to sign commitment papers for your wife.
You mean put her in...
In a good sanitarium, in a place where she'll be safe and receive the proper treatment for her... her problems.
I don't know. I don't think she's crazy.
You're not in any condition to judge her mental health, Mr. Sandfort.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean I'm asking you to make a difficult decision. I'm also asking you to commit yourself.
No! I won't think of it. Send him away. Send the doctor away. Paul, how can you do this to me? You know I'm not insane. You heard her. That night, we both went down into the cellar, and that little man, you remember, the helper, you saw him too. You know I'm not crazy. I won't go. I won't. You can't make me.
She's gone into the bedroom, Dr. Coombs.
Is there a lock on the door?
No.
Well, suppose I go in. Perhaps a sedative to quiet her.
No, please, Doctor. Let me speak to her first. She'll listen to me.
Very well. I'll wait out in the car if you want me.
Yes, yes. Please go. I think she'll listen to me if you're not here. Nora? Nora? May I come in?
Is that doctor still here?
No, no. He's outside in his car.
Paul, how could you do this to me? Deceive me, try to put me away.
But I explained everything to you.
I will never consent.
I'm going with you, dear. I'm going in, too.
What? Why? Paul, why do you want to do such a thing?
Because I'm frightened. I've never been afraid in my life before, but this is all beyond me, beyond any rational explanation.
And you think you'll be away from your fear in that place? Oh, Paul, I'm not out of my mind, and neither are you.
How much longer can we stand this?
Listen to me.
What?
I can tell you. Only you.
What?
I've made a pact with the helper.
Oh, Nora.
He has given me the power to bring Ruth back.
You don't know what you're saying.
Oh, yes, I did.
That's impossible. Now, don't be foolish. Don't tell anyone else what you've told me.
Now, you think I'm insane, too, don't you?
I don't know what to think.
He has given me two wishes.
Two wishes?
Yes. He said that I would need two. Actually, all I need is one. To bring my dear child back.
Yes. Yes, Nora, of course. Now, I want you to do something for me.
What?
Don't fight me now. Go along with me for a little while. Perhaps this nightmare will stop. We'll be able to get out when we want to. I have the doctor's promise.
Can you trust him?
Yes, darling. Since we're committing ourselves, we can get ourselves released merely by asking to be released.
And our poor tortured child? Who will be here to hear her call? Who will be here to comfort her, Paul? We're running away. Deserting her.
Darling, Nora, our Ruth will be with us always, no matter where we are. Oh, the phone. Oh. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Sandfort?
Yes, Dr. Coombs?
I'm calling from the sanitarium.
Is there anything wrong?
Yes, your wife has disappeared.
You mean walked out?
Nobody saw her leave. As a matter of fact, it's a bit of a mystery. Her room was locked.
Perhaps someone, one of the attendants or nurses unlocked the door for her.
No, we've questioned the entire... a mild sedative. Your wife had complained she was worried because you weren't there.
Well, I was just cleaning up a few urgent matters here. I was coming to commit myself tomorrow morning.
I told her that, but it didn't seem to have any effect.
When was Nora last seen?
Not more than 10 minutes before 1 a.m. Another nurse on the floor answered her ring. She told the nurse about her anxiety and her inability to sleep. She hasn't returned home, has she?
No. What do you want me to do, Doctor?
Stay where you are. She may come home. It's very likely that she will come there.
Emily, I'm sorry to be calling you at this hour, but Nora has disappeared. She walked out of the hospital. The fire, Ruth's death, it's been preying on our minds, and I thought that... Wait, Emily, that's my doorbell. I'll call you back. I just wanted to know if Nora was with you. I'll call you back. Let me know if Nora shows up. Bye. Oh, Dr. Fowler. Come in.
Oh, thank you. I got a call from Dr. Coombs about 20 minutes ago.
Yes?
He asked me to see you. He said you might need me. I came right over. Is there anything I can do to help?
Nothing. Unless you can find Nora, she's been missing since about 1:30 a.m. About 3 hours.
Where would she go? Where could she go?
I don't know.
What? What was that?
I heard it, too.
Do you have a cat, Paul?
No.
Sounds like a cat.
It was Ruth. She's calling Nora.
Ruth?
My daughter.
Oh, yes, yes, your daughter. But she's...
She's dead.
You hear your dead child's voice calling?
You heard it, too.
No. No, 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 it can't be. That's superstitious nonsense.
That's what I thought. But I don't anymore. Ruth is calling to us from the grave.
I hear it. I hear it. Paul, pray with me. Pray to God to make her go back.
No. Nora will be here. She will come here in answer to her child's cries. Her mother's love is so strong that Ruth's outstretched hand will reach across the void of death and touch the hand of her mother.
Yes?
Fowler?
Yes?
I thought you were going to report back to me.
I've just been through the most shattering experience of my life.
You saw Mrs. Sanford?
No. I'm not a superstitious man, Dr. Coombs, but I heard the voice of Ruth Sanford calling to her mother from the grave.
Dr. Coombs, I thought it was Nora.
She hasn't returned yet, huh? I was talking with your minister, Dr. Fowler. He seemed quite upset.
Any word from the police?
Nothing. They've gotten several false telephone tips from cranks. Only one man identified himself by name, a Mr. Helper.
Helper?
You know him?
Yes, I know him.
The police asked him for his address. He gave them one, but it proved to be a phony. Do you know where to find him?
You won't believe this, Doctor. But the last place I saw him was in my cellar.
What?
I don't know how he got there. I didn't see him leave, although I was standing talking to him at the moment. He vanished.
Vanished?
Disappeared.
I see. Disappeared right before your eyes. Oh, yes. I remember your telling me about that incident when you both came to my office.
Hello. Who's there?
Paul? I've come home.
What is he doing here? I won't go back to that place. He can't
Nora,
make me go back.
Nora, dear.
Send him away. Paul, make him leave. We don't need him.
Mrs. Sanford, as your doctor,
You're not my doctor anymore. Please go. Leave us alone.
Please, Dr. Coombs, your being here will just make her worse.
Very well, if you think you can manage.
Yes, I can manage.
I'm sorry you feel this way about me. Good morning.
He was trying to do what he thought best for you, for us.
He has no way of knowing what is best for us. He was just interfering, keeping us from Ruth.
Nora, please give up that mad notion.
Give it up? Oh, no. Paul, I will not give it up. Tonight, this morning, before dawn, we will bring our child back to us.
Nora, think what you're saying.
I've thought, and I've made up my mind. Before daylight, he said. What time is it now?
It's 4:20.
It won't be light before 6. We must do it now. Come. We'll go together.
Go where?
To the place I first heard her voice, calling to me, the cellar, the crack in the wall.
Are you sure you want to go through with this? I think, Nora.
I've come too far to turn back now. I don't care what happens to me. It's Ruth we must think of.
All right, Nora, I'll go along. I'd better get my flashlight. The light's still out in the cellar.
No, Paul. What I must do must be done in darkness. No lights. Now, let's go down the stairs. Now, Paul, don't say anything. I must ask for her life from the Master. Oh, Master, listen to my plea. I have paid dearly for this boon. Heed my request and grant it to me in payment. I fear your presence, Master, but I implore you, grant my wish. I wish my daughter were alive and with me now. My daughter, please give me back my daughter. Ruth, where are you? Come to me.
Of their lives and go on. Strangely enough, the crack in the cellar wall was finally closed, and no human hand had a part in its repair. Our cast included Celeste Holm, Wes Addy, Robert Maxwell, Robert Dryden, and Ann Costello. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And this is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
preceding Mystery Theater program was furnished by the CBS Radio Network. This is WOR New York, an RKO General Station. At the WOR time signal, exactly 8 o'clock, here's John Scott with the news.
No, only a half an hour off at 7:30.
Yep. I thought it was interesting that she got two wishes. You'd think they would have left it at one because that was your choice. But wow.
Yeah, it's that one had me chilling over here. I mean, I had goosebumps running up and down. Good story.
Not bad for a wall as a topic, huh?
Yeah. Sometimes the ones you think are going to be, maybe a little tepid compared to some serious horror, but this is serious horror.
Absolutely.
Well done, Master Librarian.
But as we, of course, always learn from the story itself, there's sometimes something that we don't always learn that we must learn after the story is over.
Scrolling indeed. Erie House Radio proudly presents Carlos Moral of the Story.
His apologies to Gar. Even if your wife doesn't hear her dead child, it may still be okay to have her institutionalized, except on laundry day. There you go.
They're great!
Yes, they are.
Yep. Wonderful story from the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Hey, and we have coming up starting, I believe it is next Friday, we begin to break into our Halloween, do we not, starting next Friday, Dale?
Sure, might as well. we've got five, count them, five nights of Halloween. It's Halloween week. We always have fun here in Erie House. Now, the schedule is not put down in stone, like tombstone, just yet, but just to give you a taste, a sampling, if you will. We're going to have a corpse night, all right? Funny fright night. Yuck.
Yep.
And weird westerns that were broadcast on Halloween or October 30th. Sherlock horrors and... In lieu of Orson Welles this year, on October 30th, we're still doing War of the Worlds, but it's the Lux Radio Theater version of the George Pell, 1954 or 53, War of the Worlds, which is one of my favorite movie adaptations.
Yeah, that's four... That's our third year in a row and our third different variants on that story that we've shared. So, although year two was only slightly different, but it was different indeed.
It was different indeed, and we're taking yet another left turn. So we'll get the a whole schedule out to you soon, so you can plan to take quit your job and listen for five nights through Halloween. Halloween week. And hopefully Gar can make many, many, many of these as he contributed as he always does. But also in inspiration. He sent me something that said, okay, we're doing a Sherlock Holmes one now.
Yes.
Yeah. So it'll be lots and lots and lots of fun. And that starts Friday night. We're going to start that one with the Funny Fright Night. It'll have Fibber McGee and Molly. Jack Benny throws yet another Halloween party. and Ozzie and Harriet. Haunted House. That's all on Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Cool. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that.
We got some time here. We can, we've got wheel, we've got commercials, we've got songs, man.
we got Muzak. Yes, we do. We got Muzak, and we've got time probably for all three. So as we wind up that, we get ready to wind up the wheel, why don't we hit a musical selection, Dale, there, giving people enough to call in at 646-378-0264 to spin that wheel.
Yep. Dial carefully, but in the meantime,
gentlemen, the man performing tonight would like to put in a shortwave call to a fella named Brains at Pearl Harbor and to the Rigger Runners at APO 862. We'd like to tell McDonald and the gang in Northern Ireland to be disappointed no longer, because we are presenting your favorite quartet. This is great news, too, for the radio boys who wrote from Australia on July the 5th, and for Corporal Needle at APO 832, who says the sweetest girl in the world lives in Philadelphia. The big news, men, is the Ink Spot. Come on out, you Ink Spot, and give out for the AES!
I love the jabber jabberness loves me. Coffee and tea and the jabber in me. A gubba 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 boy. I love jabber sweet and hot. Woof, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A gubba 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 gubba. Oof, slip me a slug from the wonderful mug. Now I'll cut the rug, don't snug in the jug. Slice your onion and raw one, raw one. Waiter, waiter, percolator. I love coffee, I love tea. I love the jabber jabberness loves me. Coffee and tea and the jabber and me. A gub, a gub, a gub, a gub, a gub. Ooh, Boston beans, soy beans, green beans, cabbage and greens. I'm not keen upon a bean, unless it is a chin soy bean. Boy, I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Jaffa Jive and it loves me. The coffee and the tea and the Jaffa and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Boy, I love Jaffa, sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee fight. Shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup. Oh, slip me a slug from any old mug. I'll cut a rug till I'm snug in the jug. Shoot the butter to me, Bessie. Don't get messy. Waiter, waiter, percolator. I love coffee, I love tea. I love the Jaffa Jive and it loves me. A coffee and tea and the Jaffa with me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Skidding a birthday, a birthday. The baba do the day, ba do the day, bang. Shoot the juice to me loose. Cook my goose. Waiter, waiter, percolator. I love coffee, I love tea. I love the jabber jabber and it loves me. A coffee and tea and the jabber with me. Yeah! A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Boom! Jabber jabber. Yeah!
Even our studio audience loved that one. That was
yeah. They did. Yeah, Ink Spots, one of probably the two best African-American groups known internationally even as well. Matter of fact, the other one, of course, being from Ohio, the Mills Brothers. And when the Mills Brothers went on their world tour, when they came back, people kind of forgot who they were. They had to fight back to get all of their attention back again. But yeah, they were Ink Spots. Basically, gained fame in the 30s and 40s. Best known for recording pop ballads and They had chart toppers totaling over 50 hits in a 17-year recording career. And their best-selling one, If I Didn't Care, sold over 19 million copies. And is currently the seventh best-selling single of all time. How do you like that?
I love it. I remember Fred Sanford would always try to do his rendition like the Ink Spots on Sanford and Son.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Good old Red Fox there. But, a fun little song there, yeah.
It was, and apparently the phone lines aren't working, so...
Well, you know, let's give it another minute here, Dale. I got paid Friday, so I can hand you my virtual nickel to put into the virtual commercial jukebox there.
Oh, why not? Plop it in there.
Okay.
Give way to your heart, your spirit soar.
With Northwest Airmanship,
you fly as you've never flown before. Fly the best when you fly Northwest, Northwest Orient.
Planning a trip to Tokyo, Manila, Hong Kong, anywhere in the Orient? Fly the shortest, fastest way, Northwest. Northwest Great Circle Shortcut saves you 1,800 miles to the Orient. And only Northwest gives you one airline service to the Orient, direct from Cleveland. So fly the shortest, fastest way to the Orient. Fly Northwest. Daily, first class and tourist service across the Pacific on luxurious DC-7C. Call your travel agent or...
Northwest
Orient.
Ah, so. The only problem with taking, you know, this Oriental airline is that an hour later you want to take another one, you know?
What? Just not very filling, is it?
No. It's very...
We got a caller, Dave. Let's find out who it is.
Okay. Well, be gone.
They ran away just as I was connecting them. Well, maybe they'll call back. Maybe they won't.
Yeah.
Maybe they
will. That was an interesting phone number, too.
Yeah.
It was 111-111-1111.
Yes. I think it comes up that way when they get routed a certain way. I'm not sure. Or it's Washington spying on us again. The government's looking in here.
Could be. One never knows.
It's my son's sense of humor. He would be walking by a window and pull a shade shut. The government's looking in here. Just walk away with a little smirk on his face.
Yeah, is it the government or is it the aliens watching us?
Yes.
Well,
the answer is yes.
And that could be one and the same, depending on how your conspiracies go. Yes.
Or just your sense of observations of late, but. Could be politicians. Who knows?
I think it's your turn then, since no one else has stepped up and made the call.
I will heave my bulk over to the wheel, reach to the top here, give it a big pull.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Now, you know, ever since I came out here not long ago and told you boys that I may not play my bazooka, You know, the boys in the band have just been begging me and begging me. Sure enough, they've been begging me all evening, but I don't care. I'm going to play it anyhow. I told you before that the bazooka has to have a reason before I play it, and I finally found a reason. I figured if I played Dinah, then Dinah Shore will come out and latch on to the second chorus, and I know all you boys want to hear Dinah again. And Dinah, in fact, she promised me she would if I would tell you boys that she's not singing about herself. You know, Dinah's a swell gal in the song, and our Dinah Shore is just kind of timid, and she don't want you to think she's singing about herself. But anyhow, that's what we think of her. Now then, we've got in this little orchestra here, I've got none other than Tommy Dorsey on the trombone, Count Basie at the piano, or Count Bossy, and Lionel Hampton on the vibraphone, and Spike Jones at the drum. Boy, there never was a band with so many leaders in this world. All right, boys, let's get together now. You boys, as far as I'm concerned, that's just about all the damage I can do.
Bazooka Bob Burns? Was that his name?
Yes. Bob Bazooka Burns, that tube, he invented that instrument. It was just a tube, and he called it the bazooka. And he was so popular with the army forces and such, or the armed forces, that when they created the bazooka, they named it after his musical instrument. I don't know if it means that he bombed every time he used it. No. But actually, yeah, he played this novelty musical instrument of his own invention called the bazooka. And during World War II, the U.S. Army held a handheld anti-tank rocket launcher was nicknamed the bazooka. You and I know it is that. And yeah. at the time of this recording, because this was, would have been during, let's say, about 44, Bob Burns was already in his 60s at this point. He was born in 1890, or at least in his 50s, mid-50s. He lived only until February 1956, February 2nd. He was 75 years old when he passed. He was a sidekick of Bing Crosby's on many of the original Kraft music halls, not the Philco radio type, but the Kraft music halls. And got a start in radio. He, in 1930, auditioned for a major Los Angeles radio station. He prepared a 10-minute performance, and they asked him to do 30 minutes, which he filled out with improvised stories and bazooka tunes. And the manager didn't care for his prepared material, but was impressed with improvised material. So he was hired after he appeared on the afternoon show Fun Factory as a character called Soda Pop. So there you go. That was his start. Mm-hmm. 35, he went to New York. He asked a band leader and radio star, of course, Paul Whiteman, Pops Whiteman, for an audition. And Whiteman put Burns on his nightly show, the Kraft Music Hall. Gee, I think I said that. Which was broadcast nationally. Burns was a big hit. Burns also became a regular on Rudy Valley's The Fleischman Yeast Hour, which again was another early hit show with good old Rudy Valley. Yeah. Returned to Los Angeles 36, where Kraft Music Hall was now hosted by Bing Crosby, was a regular playing the bazooka and telling stories about his fictional hillbilly relatives, Uncle Fudd and Aunt Doody. He also hosted the 10th Academy Awards, held on March 10, 1938 at Baltimore Hotel in Los Angeles, originally scheduled to be held March 3, 1938. The ceremony was postponed due to heavy flooding in Los Angeles. And I have heard one. In 41, he was given his own radio show, The Arkansas Traveler, 1941 to 43, and The Bob Burns Show. Actually, I heard The Bob Burns Show, 43 to 47. Even wrote a newspaper column, 1936 to 1940, which was syndicated in 240 different newspapers. Of course, that led to some films, so he did radio. He did some films. He was more successful in radio, but he wrote newspaper articles. I mean, what an amazing talent, and always kind of keeping that Arkansas flavor and what would you call it, accent and such. And yeah, that was his stick, that and the bazooka.
Good old boy from the South. Now, when I hear the name Bob Burns, of course, right away I think of the famed monster kid Bob Burns. He's kind of like a mini Forry Ackerman type. But this is not the same person. Just so you know.
No.
Just so you know. You know, we did a Cleveland night that was very well received. We got a lot of listens of that show here on Erie House. And Dave brought along some memories of Cleveland radio. Since we have a little time left, I thought we'd play one of these for you with some great Cleveland memories from the 70s. And we'll be back in about 3 minutes and 5 seconds.
You haven't seen Higby today. You haven't seen Higby.
Come to Higby's at Summit Mall today for a special savings deal on Garland Shetland Look sweaters. These beautiful sweaters come complete with a free monogram. At the regular price of $18, our Garland acrylic crew neck sweaters were a good buy. Now through Saturday at Higby's Summit Mall, they're a terrific buy at just $15.99 with a free monogram in your choice of two styles. These classic crew neck sweaters come in all your favorite fall colors of cream, red, navy blue, Kelly green, or burgundy in three sizes, small, medium, and large. Buy one for yourself or stock up now for gifts later. Get your Garland Shetland Look sweaters now, and Higby's will monogram it at no extra charge. A fall wardrobe essential this season. Now through Saturday at Higby Summit Mall in the Juniors Department.
You haven't seen Higby today. You haven't seen Higby
Summit Mall. See you there.
Here's to change, but don't lose your yellow Fazio's register tape.
Oh?
Why not? When the register tapes you save from any Fazio's total $500, we'll give you a pocket calculator free.
Is it any good?
It's great. It's got an 8-digit display and even 4-button memory. Free battery, too.
So that's quite an offer.
But just save your tapes. The offer's good all summer.
Get complete details on how to get your free Hanamex calculator from your favorite Fazio's store, the food people with super low prices.
The biggest mall of all is presenting a week of fun-filled events and entertainment. All this week, you'll find lovable clowns passing on balloons, lots of music in the air, a ventriloquist, plus a delightful magic show, all appearing in the mall. Come on out and enjoy our great entertainment week now through Sunday.
The biggest mall.
Sunday at the biggest mall of all, Randall Park.
Happy birthday, America, and thank you for making York Steakhouse feel right at home. Never before have we seen such celebrating. Folks everywhere have the bicentennial spirit, including everyone at York Steakhouse. So we can all celebrate America's birthday together. York Steakhouse will be open July 4th and 5th. Dinner here is always exciting and delicious. One meal you're sure to enjoy is York sirloin steak dinner. For just $2.29, you'll feast on a big half-pound sirloin steak. You'll find service at York prompt, and there's never any tipping. Celebrate America's 200th birthday at York Steakhouse. York's open from 11 a.m. July 4th and 5th. York Steakhouse. We're proud to serve America. Great steak dinners at your kind of price.
York Steakhouse, located on Pearl Road opposite Southland Shopping Center.
That's some classic Cleveland radio.
You know, Dale, something I just realized, and I forget what the second one was, but it started off with Higbee's, went to the second one, then Randall Park Mall, which at the time was the largest mall in the country, the largest mall of all, and York Steakhouse, all four of those, and I forget what the second one was. But
Fazio's
all four
grocery
of those,
stores.
Fazio's, they're all, Dave. Yeah. Right, they're all gone. Every one of those is gone. There's not a one of those left anymore. I have some ties to two of those. I have some personal ties to two of those, Dale. The Higbee's in Summit Mall, and of course York Steakhouse. My very first paying job was as a dishwasher at York Steakhouse that was in Summit Mall, where Higbee's also was.
Those of you not from the area, Dork Snake House, as we used to call it. was very much like it was actually pretty good. It was very much like Ponderosa. Depending on which restaurant, I thought it was superior to Ponderosa.
Yeah, it didn't have the salad bar. Other than that, Ponderosa is what it wanted to be. And you know what killed it? The Bernd Gross, who was actually the guy who created it, he sold it to General Foods. And General Foods certainly know how to make and package foods. They had no idea how to run a restaurant. And within a year of General Foods buying York Steakhouse, the thing was out of business.
Too bad.
Yep. So, anyway,
those
are my ties.
It was an affordable steakhouse. It was affordable. It wasn't like going to the Brown Derby.
Right.
You didn't have to shell out $100 back in the 70s, you know? So, it's like everything else. Stuff comes and goes. Some of these great radio shows. Dave, thanks for bringing this one. Was epic.
Hey, after this show is over, don't forget to run over to, I think he's working tonight, Gar the Ghoul Presents Horrible Horror over on iVlog TV, I think is what it's called.
Yep, in about 1 minute. Check that out after the show. And then Dave, any Vortex coming up?
Monday on the Vortex. I mispronounced the last one, but this week we do have Holly 3 weeks away from delivering her child, and we present the movie Father's Little Dividend from a doctor's office.
So until Halloween weekend, we will see you here Friday for Funny Fright Night at 8:30 Eastern on Friday.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left
but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
There we go. That would have been a lot of seconds to blow out. You would have hyperventilated had you tried to keep blowing out that game.
I decided to torture them with me, and I say this in quotes, singing.
I thought you did a fine job, my friend.
Oh, yes. When it comes to punishment, I can dish it out, boy.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, that was good punishment for a story. Gosh, Dave. You know, you brought it up after the program, but okay, Walls. All right, yeah, maybe Walls closing in. We've seen those movies. You know,
yep.
Sometimes the walls are spikes. Sometimes they just crush you. But that story, cracking the wall, was truly chilling.
That was a very chilling tale. And there are so many other chilling tales coming, not just from the Radio Mystery Theater, but so many coming from so many other programs we have. You know, Dale, I started putting together a weekend, and I found a full weekend. There's even more if we get to it, just about the pen. So, you know, we have a full weekend about the pen. How can you make it? Well, wait till you tune in. It'll be there
the
at some point.
Like
the pen.
Penitentiary, the pen, or what?
No, like the pen is mightier than the sword pen.
Oh,
believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. You just never know, folks.
Yeah. So there we go. Yeah, it's
what Dave is going to present us with. Now, I'm going to take the blame for the for the programming for Halloween week. But Dave, you do such an amazing job. Hey, a well-earned week off of not having to deal with this. But I can't wait to have a week off and spend a lot of it with you here, folks.
Yeah.
Listeners. And you, Dave.
Yep, Dave. And me too. Wow, thanks.
Well, and hopefully lots of gar too.
And hopefully, yes, because I know that we aren't doing a show actually on Halloween the 31st, but Gar goes into hiding. He does not like the 31st. So
yeah, we're gonna join him in hiding. We're gonna we're gonna go incognito and hide behind the couch when the little kids come ringing the doorbell.
Yep.
We know you're in
Jump
there.
Up. Come on, give me my candy.
No,
yeah.
We're not home. Damn it.
Oh, he says there's nobody home. I guess we have to leave.
Oh, boy.
Fazio's. Did you have any Fazio's up in Cleveland, Dale?
Yeah, we had them. Yeah, we had them.
Okay.
We had them.
I know
we had them when I grew up in the eastern suburbs, and I know there was at least one on the west side, too. So it was a chain.
They were pretty strong down in Canton area. They kind of ruled Canton.
Wow.
Before all these other wait a minute. That may have been different. We have Fisher Fazio's. Was that different?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think Fisher Fazio's was like, it's almost like a franchise, maybe.
Okay.
You know,
they
got some of the Fazio brands. You know how like these stores have their own brands.
Right.
And probably shared distributors too for like their products and produce and what have you. I don't know. I would have to think they were related.
Yeah. It would make sense. I think that's what I was confused with, but the regular Fazio's, that is gone. And Higbee's, of course, in Cleveland, Higbee's is always big at Christmas time. I really wasn't aware of him But because, you know, back in 72 when I arrived back in Northeast Ohio, and we never traveled up to Cleveland. But, of course, Mr. Jingling was there to greet you, to greet Christmas and to greet you on Howie's, which floor? I forget which floor it was. But
seventh,
yeah.
Floor. On Howie's seventh floor.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a big thing, going downtown to Public Square, getting on a bus, you know, and then waiting in line. And it was a little bit similar to the Christmas story. Except for the kick in the face, well, for most of us.
Which is the storefront that they filmed. I think they actually filmed it, that part inside the Higbee's as well, did they not?
Yeah, before they converted it to a
chair?
Casino.
Right, yeah.
Tells you how old that movie is. Yeah.
I wouldn't have bet you on that one, though.
Good one, Dave. I love E.G. Marshall, and I love these stories. They're, even the way that little girl's voice, the way it emanated, you know what I mean? With being in the 70s, and even though it was the first season, still superior equipment to use and decades of you know, knowledge of what works and what doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
So when you have the producers and writers they had.
I just think, you know, that was really, wasn't any more than maybe a couple dozen regular writers and some people that maybe contributed one or two scripts that did almost 1,500 stories.
Wow. And here's the greatest part of all. You know, we've played a lot of radio shows, and the vast majority of what we've played from the 30s, 40s, 50s, and even into the 60s, they're half-hour shows for the most part.
Yeah.
No. Not CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And just like tonight's show, they keep your attention throughout the whole thing. Now, yeah, it's an hour with commercials, so 45 minutes of excitement and entertainment. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. And this one did. And right at the parts where they're going to take a break, man, then something screaming out at us, man. I'm telling you.
Yep. And there's so much more of that to come here on Erie House.
Yeah.
We'll try to mix things up and keep things fun, entertaining. And if there's a topic you want to hear, challenge Dave. We're throwing the gauntlet right now. I'll bet you can't make a show about, and I'll bet you he can.
Yeah, I dropped the gauntlet, but I'm afraid I drop it on my toe. So I'll just challenge. I'll throw out the challenge, yes.
In fact, in some cases, you may suggest something that we're already scheming.
Yes, please do that. That'll be a lot easier.
I'm looking at our secret documents that we share, and there's like a year's worth of stuff here or more that's ready for certain occasions or opportunities.
Yes. Yeah, and some of them are dated for specific times or days, and some of them are just general that can be plugged in at any time or place. So
that's right.
Yep, and coming up soon, we got our time change, so we got some more time travel stuff for everyone. It's so much fun doing these shows and sharing all these.
Yeah, and we're making Halloween week something of a marathon to keep you amazed and amused.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that myself.
Indeed. Well, Dave.
Well, I think so that we can get a chance ourselves to go catch our brother on iVlog TV. That perhaps maybe it's time to bring brother James Durant in to say good night to everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. It's time to say goodnight.
for this say but good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Ari, bo, up we the same, and ink a tink a do. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
The sound you hear is dripping blood. This is the start of Black Sunday.